Number one, this is a podcast for small to medium businesses. We're going to talk marketing, hiring, leadership, human resources, taxes, operations, everything you need to run your business better. Number two, the experts you hear on this show are going to give you easy to understand tips that you can put in place quickly. Number three, every day you gotta laugh. Life is too short to take it seriously all the time. This is 3 for 3. Let's go. Okay, today's guest is Tia Ramlo. Tia is the president of Great Work Employment Services in Akron, Ohio. The company recruits employees for manufacturing and distribution centers in Northeast Ohio. She's a second-generation owner of her company and has grown it to a staff of 24 with more than 500 field employees and 6 locations. Tia is active in her community, serving as a board member of the Greater Akron Chamber, and is also a very strong advocate for small business issues, both locally and statewide. Welcome to the show, Tia.
Thanks, Kurt.
So, Tia, before we get started into our tips, I was looking at your background and learned that we have something in common, and that is that we're both second-generation owners of a family company. So tell me, what helped you decide that you wanted to carry on the family business?
Interestingly, I didn't really decide. I fell into it. I moved here from Michigan, and my parents had just started the company, so it was really brand new. It was about a year and a half old. And I asked them if I could work for them and until I found the job I wanted. And so they said, that's fine. We can't pay you, but a little bit, very small, and you can open an office for us up in Streetsboro. And I said, all right, sounds fair. Let's give it a try. And so I did that, and I found out that I love this industry, and I found out I could work with my parents, which, if any family business member knows, that can be difficult and doesn't always work out. But we really had a good synergy, and they trusted me, and I trusted them, and it just moved forward into a relationship that actually has now been 25 years later. So it was good, and it worked out well for them because they were able to retire quickly, and I was able to get into a position that I never knew I'd ever get into. It wasn't on my to-do list, but it sure has worked out well.
I think that speaks for a lot of family businesses out there. It never really goes exactly as you expected, but it's good when it works out.
Yep, exactly.
So your company really specializes in the manufacturing distribution sectors right now. Has it always been that way?
Yes, from the get-go. We're basically the human resource outsourced arm for a lot of the manufacturing companies and distribution centers in Northeast Ohio.
Okay, great. I invited you on the show today to talk about the hiring process, and we work with a lot of manufacturers. I know that trying to have a good workforce, force that you really can count on to be there, that's reliable, is important, as well as skilled and able to do the job right. And I know that is a changing audience as we, you know, change in generations right now with new people coming through. And I think it's going to be really interesting to hear what you have to say about how businesses, particularly in these industries, can look at their hiring process and find people that are the right fit. So let's jump into it. Can you give us one tip on this process?
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, over 25 years, recruiting has definitely changed. But one of the challenges that never changes is, A, how do you find people? And how do you find the right people for your particular company? Because every company has its own culture. Every company has its own dynamic. And so that is one of the things that we are always faced with, especially because we work with hundreds of companies at a time. So we've got to understand corporate dynamics, culture, jobs, what it entails, whether it's speed or attitude or what it is. And, you know, I think right now the biggest challenge for companies is the fact that unemployment is low, which is good. It's a good place to be in. But what does that do? That tightens the labor pool. So you can spend a lot of time trying to find the right person, and either A, get no results, or B, you make a decision that might not always be in the best interest, but you're desperate because you have to get stuff done, right? So you have this need and you're making hiring decisions. So I always get asked by corporations, well, how do you find your people, and what do you, you know, what do you recommend that we do? And so I've kind of looked at, you know, there's always the same old that people do when they recruit, but what's outside of that box? What's something that a company should maybe consider, especially in today's day and age with the unemployment rate low and the labor pool very tight? What are some things that they could think of a little bit differently? So kind of the angle I'm taking on it, because obviously everybody knows the regular way of recruiting. But I think one of the first tips I would say is when somebody walks in your door today, you've got to kind of throw away those first impressions. You've got to throw away those norms that you've always had on who should be working for you. And by that, I mean that obviously with the newer generations coming in and even the older generations, you got to consider the fact that somebody who is older could absolutely be a perfect fit for you. There's been, you know, people are working longer now. They've got good skill set. They're very reliable. And the way jobs are today, usually it's not as manually and as hard on the physical part of it. So because of technology and all those things, people can come along and do a job where maybe 15 years ago they wouldn't have been able to. And then the other one is just people with the tattoos, people with the haircuts, people with colored hair, people with the piercings, all those impressions. You shouldn't look at that. What you really want to look at is this person going to be able to do the job based on the job description? So that would be one of my first and foremost, that you got to really kind of throw away that, hey, this is the mold I always hired, so this is what I got to keep hiring if you want to find something.
Well, and it's tough because people always say the first impression is the most important one, and it goes both ways, though. I think that's what's right here, is you have to be able to make sure that you take that with a grain of salt, particularly if, as you say, if you're used to hiring a particular type of person.
Yep, exactly.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that backfire for any companies that you've worked with?
I think if it, depending on what it is, it's definitely worked for people. And one of the reasons that one of the things that's good through our agency is that we take away that first impression. So when we send somebody to some of our jobs, they don't have to take them, but they might be like, oh geez, that person has purple hair today, I don't think this is going to work out. But then they get them on a machine because that's the person we send, and the person can do the job. So that eliminates kind of that initial hesitancy that somebody might have if they do the interview in a normal setting. Definitely. Is there a time when somebody might have had, you know, a whole sleeve of tattoos and they didn't work out? Yeah. Was it because of the tattoos? No. Right. So that's the thing that people have to understand, is the tattoos don't make the person.
Yeah. Okay.
Skill set, the work experience, those are the things that you want to look at.
Right. Okay. Well, good. First tip then. So make sure you write off that first impression. What's your second tip?
I did a presentation last year to a group of HR people, and I think one of the things that is happening, companies are also tightening it down on their pre-employment requirements. So you've got, everybody wants drug tested, everybody wants no felony background, everybody wants, you know, they want this huge list of things that you can't have. And I challenged the HR people. I said, listen, there are safety reasons for this. There's liability reasons for this. But there's also a huge opportunity to take a look at some people out there that might have some normal barriers to employment, and let's say felonies, where you would just say, you know what, I'm not hiring anybody, no can do. But if you really step back and look at what their felonies were, because the state of Ohio, since I've been doing this in the last 25 years, has put more and more laws on the books that make a person's actions a felony. So 25 years ago, we didn't have as many people with felonies. Was it because people were better? Not necessarily. There were less laws that said that, you know, having an open container or having paraphernalia in your car, that used to be a misdemeanor, now it's a felony. So I'm not a proponent, but I'm always saying, listen, take a look at how long ago it was. See if they've done it consistently. If they made a mistake once or twice in the past and we're 7 years out and they still haven't had any issues since then, maybe let that go and say, listen, if they're going to be running a machine or they're going to be doing X, as long as it's not, you know, check fraud and they're going to be writing checks for you, obviously that would not be one that would coincide. But if you've got somebody with a child support felony, because that is now a felony if you don't pay child support, it doesn't inhibit them from being able to run a machine. And actually, if they're paying child support, they may be more likely to show up more consistently for you because they have to make this child support payment. So take a look at that, be a little bit more open, and just, you know, don't say anybody's unemployable. And I think one of the things that has worked out really nicely for a lot of companies that do take that step with a felon or with somebody with a background that's not ideal is that they're getting somebody who might be a little bit more loyal or are more loyal because they can't just go out and find another job everywhere because not everybody's that open.
Right. I think it's really important in this tip that the HR has to know the laws out there and yes. realize what that means to the employee and what that means to their personality. That it could, if it has nothing to do with what they're looking to hire, they could be a perfectly fine candidate. And I love the idea of what you say here is that you could have someone out there that's hungry to work and work hard, and because something happened 10 years ago, it was a one-time thing, and maybe it was, who knows what the circumstances were, people looking at them and saying, yeah, they're writing them off all of a sudden. But you're saying this could be a perfect candidate because they're going to work their tail off because they know this is an opportunity for them.
Exactly. And actually, it's interesting you brought up the laws. It is a law that's becoming, and it's even on the books for Ohio to come through. It's called Ban the Box. So basically, it's saying you can't ask people initially what their felonies are. And the law actually dictates that you can't just eliminate everybody based on a felony. You have to look at the circumstances, how long ago. That is the law. But it in order to make it easy on themselves, there's been a lot of companies out there that just say, I'm not going to hire anyone with a felony. And it's not good. You're doing yourself an injustice because you're eliminating people who could be a really good employee. And you're essentially breaking the law.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tip number two then, no one's unemployable. All right. So bring us around to your third tip, yeah?
I guess the biggest thing is the people that you're hiring with the things that I've just talked about, this could impact the culture of your company. You know, if you are hiring the people with the purple hair now, and you are hiring the people with the nose rings, and you are hiring a person with a felony, how does that integrate with the people that you've historically had? Is it going to cause problems? And also, what is it doing to your culture? I'm of the essence that it actually is going to be better for your culture because you're going to have a little bit more diversity in there. And that's good because people bring new ideas when everybody's not lock, stock, and barrel all walking in the same line. And so you got to be ready for that though, too. You've got to be ready for somebody who might say to you, well, this person has a felony. I don't want to work next to him or her. And then you've got to understand that dynamic. But, as long as the people feel safe and there's nothing that is going to be something that could be a liability for you, then that is definitely something that you want to work through and just make sure you have good training with all of your staff. That's just comes through with, and I think that as you change the company, it'd also move it forward, and it could be interesting to see what comes of that.
Yeah, and this is something that I think all companies, kind of no matter what industry you're in, are going to have to deal with as yep. we change our generations, as we look to the boomers, more and more moving towards retirement, and we've gotten different perspective and different types of employees coming through. Is there anything that employers can do that you've seen or recommended to prepare the rest of their staff? I think as an owner, you can say to yourself, I can free my mind and hire whoever I think is going to be the best fit. But that culture and the impact that can have on the other employees that aren't necessarily making the hire or are taking that first impression and that's all they're seeing, what can an employer do to help everyone have that same perspective that this is the best person for the job?
Well, I think there's twofold. One is communications. The more you communicate and people understand the concept, the more they know where you're coming from and understand that person. And if the person can do the job, the person next to them probably isn't going to have a problem with them because that's making their life easier. So I think just getting the person in there, and if, as long as the person is making an impact and making is part of a team and making it, them reach their goal, no one's going to question it, and they'll just be happy that they don't have to have all that on them. So the two things are just make sure that the skill set is definitely there and that these people will come on board and really help meet production goals or whatever it is that you're trying to do. And then also just have communication, have them interact outside of just the job even. And because there might be different departments that don't work together, they'll have them integrate and have them talk. And that's going to help any culture is if people don't feel like they're just these silos by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, so quick recap here. Tip number one is right off that first impression. Number two is realizing that no one is unemployable. And then the third one is just to keep in mind the culture of your organization when you're going through that process.
Yeah.
All right. So Tia, if people out there, listeners, and I know I'm going to share this with some of my clients that are in the manufacturing sectors, but anyone else listening to this, I want to learn more about you or about great work. What would you recommend?
I would just say, obviously, go to our website. We have a lot of information on there about all of our locations. We've got 5 locations. We're actually adding a 6th location in May. And all of our jobs, if somebody's looking for jobs or the types of jobs that we place, we post those on our website as well. There's a link to that, and they can look at them by geography or by actual job titles. And just get a general feeling for us because we're proud. We've been in business for 25 years and we're a woman-owned business and it's all on there. So that would be the easiest way to get some information. And if they want to reach out to us, all the ways to do that are on there.
Great.
And that's www.greatwork.cc. And it's not, and everybody calls us Great Works. I don't know why, but it's greatwork.cc. No S.
No S. Greatwork.cc. All right.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, well, as you know, the show's called 3 for 3. You gave us our 3 tips, and
yeah.
Now I'm going to give you 3 jokes. We have a little fun here at the end of the show.
Okay.
And I'm sure that you will not laugh at these. These are really bad jokes today, but that's part of the fun. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't accept pity laughter, you know?
Okay.
You know, so.
None of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that the joke? That's perfect.
That was it. I got you. All right. Before we come up with, before I give you the jokes here, do a little wager. Sometimes I know a lot of people drink Starbucks coffee. Are you a coffee drinker, Tia?
I am. Unfortunately, I used to not be.
Yeah, you and me and the rest of the world, right?
Right. Yep. Now I'm addicted.
All right. So if you can keep a straight face, I'll send you a Starbucks gift card. That sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. If I can get you to laugh at one of these, what do you think? You send out...
I got about a $25 Sheetz gift card.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Got it in my drawer. I'll give that out.
Okay.
Do I send it to you?
You know what? I'll tell you what. If I can get you to laugh, we'll send it out. We'll do a little contest for our listeners.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. All right. Well,
yep.
Sounds good. Well, but let me first ask, did you hear about what happened to Mr. Cup?
No.
Yeah. His wife left him and now he's a solo cup. A solo cup.
I get it.
Good. Good. Nice bright smile.
I don't know.
That was post laugh. I won't count that. That was good. But, I mean, it leads me to my next question, which was, why did the pastor love donuts so much?
I don't know.
That's because they're holy. Holy, get it?
Yeah.
I told you they're bad. All right. By the way, your face is not getting redder as this go on.
They're totally not red. Not at all.
All right. One more to go. We're almost done. What do you call a father who's a professional dancer?
I don't know.
A stepfather. Step. Yeah, you get it.
I got it. Those are good.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I don't think I got you. I mean, it was close.
Right.
Well, good stuff, Ti.
I'll send you the card to give out to listeners. How about that?
Deal? I'll tell you what. We'll do a mutual here. I'll send you the gift card. Send me the card. We'll send it off to our listeners, and we'll just have fun with them.
Perfect.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me. It was fun. It's my first podcast ever.
This is Kurt Clyden, and I thank you for tuning in to another episode of 343. If you're not listening to the podcast through an app on your mobile phone, head over to the podcast app on your iPhone or to the Google Play app for Androids. Click on the search tool in the app, type in 343, that's the number 3, F-O-R, and then the number 3 again, and then subscribe so you can get every episode automatically. We have some great episodes coming up, so I hope you join us for more. See you next time.
3 for 3 is produced by the marketing gurus at Clyden & Associates in Akron, Ohio. Clyden & Associates is a full-service marketing communications agency that has been in business since 1975. For more information about the company, please visit Clyden.com, that's Kleidon.com, or call 330-666-5984. If you're interested in being a guest on the show or sponsoring a show, please email Kurt, that's Kurt with a K, at Clyden.com. Until next episode, keep building a great business, and always, always keep laughing.